The Holy Spirit was pointing out to me as we were preparing for this particular message, gentlemen. He said, the Lord is like a father to his children. And this is in part why he says, you can call me Abba if you like. Abba Father. If you've been in our prayer gathering this morning, Gary Rasmussen did a really nice unpacking of what Abba actually means, how personal it is in the type of relationship he wants to have with each of us. But the Lord is like a father to his children, tender and compassionate, tender and compassionate. To those who fear him, who reverence him, this is what the Holy Spirit had the psalmist saying to me. I've shared in sort of a negative way about Kelly's and my dad. In many ways, Kelly and I had a different dad. I had him for 10 years, and then Kelly got him many years later and got to live with him. My dad was pretty much absent. So I learned, and I consider this a positive, how I did not want to grow up and the type of dad I did not want to be to my own children should I have them later on. So when Mindy and Julie and Ronnie came along, I knew many things I didn't want to do. So that's a positive, folks. That's learning. But my dad was there at different times. He came to all of my graduations. He was there when I graduated from CSUN. He was there when I graduated from Pepperdine. He was there when I graduated from seminary. He was there when I graduated from the police academy. Of course, he came and he picked on me at the police academy, knowing he was a fire captain. You know, he hugged me and he said, you know, son, when kids are growing up, they love firemen. They love policemen. When they're all grown up, they still love firemen. Funny guy. But the Lord gave me the wonderful privilege to be able to share with my dad the gospel on multiple of occasions. And on multiple occasions, he said no. But on one, the last one, he said yes to Jesus. So that is a marvelous privilege. Likewise, as I went on through the week with the Lord and my deep personal experience with him, I found myself looking through Proverbs. Solomon, such a wise man. The Lord, our God, even said he was the wisest man who had lived up to that time. And he said this, listen to my instruction. You know how I am. I'm reading the Word of God. I'm reading it out loud. He's talking to me. So he's saying, listen to my instructions, Ron, and be wise. Listen to my instructions, Ron. Be wise. Don't ignore it. And so, gentlemen, I'm focusing on you this morning, as he is focused on me. Now, bear in mind, if anything comes a little rough, a little tough, a little pointed this morning to you, understand the guy that stands before you just has the privilege of opening and rightly dividing the Word of God to you this day. I am not a perfect man, far from it. And most of you are assured of that in your experience with me. So don't take it as someone who is holier than thou as we begin what our Heavenly Father wants to point out to dads, what he wants to point out to stepdads, what he wants granddads to hear, and uncles who are followers of the Lord Jesus. This morning's message, I have titled it from the words of where much of this comes, and it's the book of Joshua. Joshua, guys, is a man's man. He came before the mighty men of valor. This guy is a warrior. He is a tremendous example for guys like you and me to pick up on and to follow. He's the one that said, "As for me and my house," the title of our message. As you look on the front page of your notes, I had in that place a picture there, the Declaration of Independence. That document was written some 248 years ago. That document came about and it radically changed the lives of the men in that painting. It not only changed their lives, this Declaration of Independence, but it would change the direction of an entire nation, the one you and I live in. So as you look at your notes, the next subtitle here is the Declaration of a Godly Father. I want to talk especially to the men of the church family, and if you're a guest this morning, about what I'm calling the Declaration of a Godly Father. Here's my definition. A godly man is a male. That's in question this day in this country. I'm sorry. No, I'm not. That would be untruthful. Men are males. Males will grow up to be men if they live long enough. No matter what our government, no matter what other people in this country may say, men are males. Females are females. The definition, a godly man is a male who has made the decision to operate. That is a military term for to live consistently under the governance, under the leadership of Father God, and under the lordship of Jesus Christ. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 27 and 28, Moses writes for us under the wonderful inspiration of this one who indwells us, who are born again, the Holy Spirit. He says, "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them." Not female and female, male and male, male wanting to be female, or female wanting to be male. He created them, male and female. Amen. Now, sin may have has changed some of that, but this is the way we are created. We are not born other than male or female. My brother was not born a male parakeet. He was born a male. And God said to them, that is to Adam and to Eve, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over every living thing that moves on the earth." A son of the Most High God lives his life under the authority of God the Father and serves in obedience the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, gentlemen, I selected those words very carefully because I want to be sure we're on the same page as to what we are and if we are a Christian man. Joshua, in Joshua chapter 1 and verses 8 and 9, has said the following to us gentlemen, because we are the focus this morning. The book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. Now think about that. Maybe this is the first time this particular book is being opened to you. I don't know. But he said, the book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. How well are you doing with regard to spending time in the Word of God, gentlemen? Are you spending a copious amount of time? The only way I can have the book of the law, the first five books of the Bible in this case, in my heart and in my mind is if I'm dwelling in them and letting the contents therein dwell in my heart and my mind. Otherwise, I am in disobedience to what Father God wants for me as a son of his, and likewise anyone else in this room. The book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night. You know what a cow does as it's out there in the field and chewing its cud? It's meditating. It has a mouth full of food and it's chewing on it and chewing on it and chewing on it. And then it swallows it into its first stomach and later will cough it back up and chew on it some more. Now it's kind of disgusting to think about. But with regard to meditation, it's the same thing. It's to be thinking about it, chewing on it. What are you saying to me, Dad? What is it you want me to glean from this, Dad? Where is the spiritual nourishment for me that you are laying out here before me? And now what am I to do with it? But you shall meditate on it day and night. Unfortunately, there were years where I was not getting up in the morning and spending time with the Lord and letting him speak to me and then doing what he told me to do that morning and talking to him in the evening about what it was we spoke about that morning and that I was doing during the day. That's changed for reasons that he explains here. I mean, it's just a wonderful thing that he's asking for. He really loves you, gentlemen. He wants to spend time with you. His son is the ultimate man's man, and he wants you to be a man's man, transformed and conformed to him. And that will not happen by staying away from him. But you meditate on it day and night. Meditate on what? The Word of God. So that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. How is it that I find myself in the midst of thinking sin, saying sin, doing sin? It's because I'm not meditating on the Word of God. I haven't spent time with the Lord and let him speak into my life. I haven't been meditating, memorizing, studying the Word, living it out. That's why I sin. For then you will make your way prosperous. How will I make my way prosperous, Lord? By spending time reading the Word of God and doing it. Obeying, being an obedient son, not a disobedient one. Not the son that in high school was told to be home at midnight and showed up at 1 o'clock in the morning. It's much more serious when it comes to our Heavenly Father than my mom. Make your way prosperous if I'll do these things, and then you will have good success. Gentlemen, is there any time in your life where you felt like, doggone it, why am I not having success at whatever it is that you're hoping to have success at? You aren't prospering. I ask you to ask this question that Joshua has laid out very clearly from our Heavenly Father. Are you in the Word? Do you know His Word? Are you doing His Word? Are you being that good son? Are you being the lazy one, like the man who stands before you, who is lazy far too long in years past? I missed out on being prosperous and successful. I stand before you, I should be retired from law enforcement. But you see, I loved my job more than I loved him. And he lovingly and most mercifully decided, that's enough, Ron. Even though I love you, I'm going to let you get hurt. And you're going to be hurt for 3 very long years. And be forced retired. Joshua says, have I not commanded you? Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. This is a worthy passage, gentlemen. If it's been a while since you've entered into the arena to memorize the Word of God and to have it right there, in your life, in the morning, and throughout the day, and at night. I mean, here he's asking us to do something. If we're not doing it, don't you think we ought to do it? We want our children to obey us, don't we? We want to be an example to our children, do we not? Then should we not follow the example of our Father in heaven? We live in a day when choices need to be made. When you look at what's happening all around us, the chaos, the confusion, the lack of clarity, and the voices coming at us from all directions. And some of those voices are saying, give up Christianity and follow anti-Christianity. Do what the culture calls you to do. Don't do what Jesus wants you to do. And there's far too many of us, gentlemen, my brothers, far too many of us, at least professing believers, whether they're real, I don't know. They would rather follow our culture than do what our Heavenly Father is saying and be wonderful examples to the rest of us. We need to be godly men. That's what we're being called to, gentlemen. Godly fathers. Isaiah chapter 3 is about judgment on Judah and Jerusalem. The men in Jerusalem and in Judah, they have been disobedient to our Heavenly Father. Not a good thing to be disobedient to God. And Isaiah 3:25 makes it clear that when men don't choose correctly, they become weak and fall on the sword. What's he saying? Isaiah 3:25. You men shall fall by the sword, and you mighty men in battle. That's why I love two of the verses here in Joshua chapter 24. He makes this declaration, brothers, in Joshua 24, verses 14 and 15. Now, therefore, fear the Lord, reverence the Lord, gentlemen. Think about it. When you come on Sunday mornings to corporately worship together with all of us, do you come with a holy reverence for him? Do you come with that sense of holy awe for him? Or is this, we're just going to church again, got to sing some songs, and Ron's going to blow hard again, and we're going to sing another song, or we'll go home, and maybe I'll have a bagel. Do you come with a holy awe, gentlemen, of the one you're going to sing a musical prayer to? Is he the one really that's in your heart and mind as you open your mouth and bring forth this music and those lyrics that become your prayer? Now, therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity, in honesty of mind, in freedom from hypocrisy. Fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in faithfulness. Because, gentlemen, you see, these men of Judah and Jerusalem, they didn't do that. They didn't do that. And I don't know how many years as a young Christian I've failed at this and missed out on the wonderful joy of being in his presence for the right reasons and focused on him. Put away the gods that your fathers served beyond the river. And the river that's being spoken here is the river Euphrates in modern-day Iraq, the land of Ur, where Abraham came from. Your fathers served beyond the river and in Egypt and served the Lord. Well, Ron, we don't have such ridiculous gods to worship today. No, we don't. We don't have those weird-looking statues of a human body and a jackal's head on top or any of those things to bow down before. But we bow down before baseball players and we bow down before basketball players. We spend more money on sporting events than we do in giving money to the Lord Jesus Christ and sending the Douglases to a new country to share the gospel with Muslims. We may not call it gods, but we have movie stars and we think the world of them. We know the stats of sporting stars, but we don't know the Word of God. And if it is evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your fathers served in the region beyond the river. I took Ronnie to all kinds of Dodger games. I probably spent back then, $500 or $600 a season. That accomplished absolutely nothing for eternal value. I could have gone out simply, as I did many times anyway, but play catch with Ronnie. One of the things he loved the most was when we would go to the father-son camp up at Forest Home, and his mother asked him, "What was the most favorite thing that you enjoyed?" "I got to talk to Dad for 3 hours all the way up the mountain." He didn't need a Dodger game. He needed his pop. That's who he needed. Choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your fathers served in the region beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me here's this man of God, this man's man. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. The fact is, a godly father accepts responsibility. Brothers, hear me, please. A godly father accepts responsibility under Father God. We are under Father God's authority, gentlemen. That's why he's in authority. He's got some, we're not some autonomous person out there floating around in the air, you know, like my mind's not clear at the moment. A feather. Remember that feather in Forrest Gump at the beginning of the movie and at the end of the movie? It's just kind of floating out there. That is not us, gentlemen. And if you are that feather, then we need to get grounded where we were intended to be all along, not floating around, a very foundation settled in him. Look at your notes. Let's look at Joshua's declaration. First of all, it's a personal declaration. He says, as for me. And as you know, as I read the scripture aloud, as for me. Okay, as for Ron. As for me, this decision cannot be made by somebody else for you as a father. As a man or a husband or a stepdad or a granddad or a godly uncle, you've got to make this decision. You've got to decide individually, gentlemen. You need to decide, this is how I'm going to roll. I'm not going to be like this, these negative people that Joshua is talking about. I'm going to be like God wants me to be. I'm going to choose to be obedient. I'm going to follow what he's asked me to do. The word of God is going to become something exceedingly important to me, so I will know how to be a godly husband, so I will know how to be a godly father. I will remember in my old age how to be a godly grandfather. Looking at our notes, Dad, you need to say, this is where I'm coming from. As for me, I am first of all a follower of Jesus Christ. First of all, I am a follower of Jesus Christ. You will get in trouble, gentlemen, if he's not first. I begged him and begged him that he would open the necessary doors that I could be a cop. And he lovingly, most mercifully gave me that opportunity. And then I turned him away. Oh, I prayed every day going to work. I prayed in certain situations, but it was always, gimme, 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 help me, help me, help me. Rather than, what do you want me to do for you? How can I glorify you? Now that would creep in every once in a while, but for the most part, my life was about me. It was all about me. And to save me from that arrogance, he let me get hurt. He didn't beat me up. He let me beat myself up. As for me, I am first of all a follower of Jesus Christ. My first allegiance is to the God of the Bible. My first allegiance is to the God of the Bible. His way, his word, his wisdom, his will. I don't need to be a dad to have this in my heart and my mind and be doing these things. But as a dad, gentlemen, we're the ultimate example to our children and to our wives. At least we're supposed to be. Looking at your notes, and Joshua broadened it. In my house, as for me and my house, he takes responsibility, gentlemen, for the family. He takes responsibility for the family. He doesn't ask, do you all agree with me? No, he makes the declaration, a personal declaration. Say that with me. He makes a declaration. He makes a declaration. Again, like you believe it. He makes a declaration. Amen. He makes this profession. He makes this affirmation. Why? Because in the Bible, looking at your notes, the father was held responsible by Father God for the direction of his family. Now, I've never stood up and said, I like that. I don't like that at all. I do not like the fact that he said the guy is going to be held accountable and responsible. I guess it's because of my own sinfulness. Looking back at this part of your notes, Jesus says, I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He does not say, I am the God of Sarah, Rebecca, and Rachel. You hear that, gentlemen? And he doesn't say, I am not the God of Sarah, Rebecca, and Rachel, not because women are not critical, not necessary, significant, or strategic. They absolutely are. They're all part of his wonderful plan for the family and for the world. But he held the man accountable and responsible. In Genesis chapter 3, verses 8 through 12, we see, and they, Adam and Eve, heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees and the garden. But the Lord God called to the man, Adam, and said to him, where are you? As if he didn't know. And he said, I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. God said, who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you not to eat? The man said, the woman, there you go, guys, throw the blame game in. The woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me fruit of the tree and I ate. Worse yet, he wasn't just blaming Eve, was he? He was blaming his heavenly father. The woman you gave me. Ladies, you notice he didn't call for you. He didn't call for Mother Eve. He called for Adam. He's holding Adam responsible and accountable for this sin. In 1 Corinthians 11, verse 3, can we read this aloud together? Let's read it aloud. But I want you to understand that the head of every man is Christ, the head of a wife is her husband, and the head of Christ is God. Do you pick up on the pecking order here? And right now, I just want to ask the ladies to make sure they see it. The wife is not the head of her husband. And those of you that have usurped that in your home, if anyone, give it back. you're wrong. The feminist movement says you're right, but they're anti-Christ. So let it go, and let's do what our Heavenly Father asks of you to understand. He said that the head here of every man is Christ. The head of every wife is her husband. The head of Christ is God the Father. Jesus submits to God the Father. Man submits to Christ the Lord. And the wife submits to her husband. Read with me Ephesians 5:23. Let's read this aloud together. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and he himself is Savior. Now, we are counter American culture, but that's good if we're obeying our Lord. He has a plan for the family. He has a plan for the husband. He has a plan for the wife. He has a plan for the children. And if we follow the plan, life in the family is going to be good. When we decide we're not going to follow, then life in the family becomes miserable. Let's not worry about America wanting you to take the wrong pecking order. Let's follow the Lord Jesus Christ. A godly father, stepfather, grandfather, uncle accepts responsibility under God. That is Jesus. He's under authority. We're under authority, gentlemen, and that's why we are placed in authority. And I don't say that like, wow, I'm so glad. It's just the way it is. And therefore, I become responsible. And if there's going to be something harsh coming our way, well, then I'm the one who's going to be spoken to first. Question, look at your notes. Have you made that declaration, gentlemen? My brothers, have you, who are dads, granddads, have you made that decision, that declaration? As for me and my house, to your wife and to your children. Does she know you mean business about following the Lord Jesus, guys? Not only in words, fellas, but visibility. Does she see this in you? You are committed first and foremost to Jesus. Not to her. She comes second to Jesus. Not anything else. Not your career. Certainly not television and sports. But girls, give him a break. If he's watching something and it's a crucial time, can you wait another couple minutes to talk to him? Not only in words, but visibly. Does your wife have to wake you up to go to church? Because you want to sleep in and send her and the children? If so, that means you aren't being responsible for your spiritual leadership in your home. Does she always have to lead in prayer and devotions, fellas? Well, you know, she knows more than I do. She goes to Kathy's Bible class, you know. She's a know-it-all. Maybe she does, but that's no excuse for you not doing your leadership. You'll catch up. If if you're in the Word meditating on it day and night, doing it during the day, you'll be prosperous. You'll have success, gentlemen. Leadership. Did you get the last fill-in, leadership? But that's got nothing to do with leadership. Leadership has to do with the position you hold in the family. You're the husband? Okay. Your head is Christ. That's your post. So make sure that the family understands that you represent God, Father God. You want His covering for your entire family. Covering means protection and leadership. You want that heavenly protection for the house, referring to the family. The fact is this, look at your notes. Unless a father, a grandfather, a stepfather, or uncle lets Father God cover him, protect him, lead him, he can't properly cover his loved ones. Men, how is your gnosko time? Oh, you knew that was coming. How is your gnosko time? Your deep EE time. Kelly reminds me of Jesus' mother there with the lady caught in adultery, right? All of you without sin throw the first stone, and the woman goes, bam, and falls. And he looks over and says, Mom, I told you not to do that. Mary had sin too. She needed a savior, her own son. Also notice that Joshua said, as for me and my house, not as for me and my neighborhood. You can put something else in there if you want. The neighbors don't control what happens in your home. The school doesn't control what happens in your home. Your boss does not control what happens in your home. You do, Dad. You're in control. Oh, but my friend said, one of your kids may say, and you just tell your little poopsie with kindness and love and tenderness that that's not the way we roll, honey. That's not the way our family functions. We're going to honor the Lord our God. We're going to follow Him. I am committed to Him. And I am committed to seeking His covering and leadership and protection and mercy and grace over our family. Try to help your children to understand. We don't allow certain TV programs in our home. We don't allow, we didn't have streaming when my kids were growing up. We didn't allow certain TV programming. We didn't allow certain cable stations in our house. We represent Father God in the home, gentlemen. Why? Because we want to have this covering from our wonderful Heavenly Father. We want to be obedient. Finally, looking at your notes, Joshua went public with his declaration. He went public with his declaration. He was determined to serve the Lord, even though he didn't know what other people were going to do. He says, if it is disagreeable in your sight to serve the Lord, you can choose who you want to serve. But let me tell you what I'm going to do. What's he going to tell them? As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. The fact is this, look at your notes. We need godly dads with some spiritual backbone. We need godly dads with spiritual backbone who love themselves properly. who love their families and who love the world in which they live, but are inextricably clear, as for me and my home, we will serve the Lord. You all may not want to go where I'm going. The company you work for may not want to go where you're going. Our culture may not want to go where we're going. But let me tell you where I'm going, whether you agree with it or not. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Action step. Here we go. We need godly men. America needs godly men like they have never, ever needed godly men before. Dads, to go public for their Christian faith. We've got big issues before us. And the best way to resolve these issues is to have godly men, dads, taking their place and speaking about what Father God says about racial injustice, what Father God says about order, what Father God says about healing wounds, what Father God says as to how we are to relate to other people, straight, gay, trans, Democrat, Republican, liberal. What Father God says about how we are to relate to other people. What Father God says about the role of government. Because guess what? Father God has something to say about all of it. All of it. It's all right here. It's all in here. He has not left any issue that we are struggling with void or divine, void of divine illumination. We need godly dads, granddads, stepdads, and uncles who will lovingly, agape that is surrounded with philos, with this family warm love. Who will lovingly and caringly do what a good quarterback has to do. Be willing to take the hit. The fact is, you see, there is a culture out there that doesn't want men of God to succeed. Satan's doing a great job of moving ahead his sons and daughters. They don't buy a biblical frame of reference. They don't buy Father God's point of view. A quarterback has to understand that while our goal is to move forward, there will be resistance. And that's why you need Father God for yourself, your family, and to make a difference for healing and unity and justice and righteousness in this broken world. Joshua got the people to make an agreement, a covenant. We see that in Joshua 24 and verse 25. So Joshua made a covenant with the people that day and put in place statutes and rules for them at Shechem. We have statutes and rules for us, gentlemen, to follow for our being prosperous and able to succeed. Dad, maybe you've made a bad choice with regard to your own life. Perhaps you've walked through your role, been thinking about it, if you will, and you feel that you have not done a particularly great job. I find myself there. Your role as a husband, your role as a father, maybe you even feel like you failed. Well, I've got good news for you. And it's not that you're alone. The good news is this: failure is not final. Would you say that with me aloud? Failure is not final. Again, failure is not final. Now say, my failure is not final. My failure is not final. Thank you. I was hoping my failure wasn't. Godly dads know what to do. Godly dads, they repent. They repent. They have no problem going to an individual, much less going to God our Father and telling him, I'm sorry. Sincerely. No hypocrisy in this. I am sorry for whatever it is you've done wrong. Look at Psalm 51:17. See it there in your notes? Let's read this aloud together. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. Oh God, you will not despise. Isn't that great? He's such a loving, gracious, merciful Heavenly Father. Oh God, you will not despise. Be honest, gentlemen, with yourself. After you ask him, after you repent with him, maybe you need to include your lady, your wife, maybe your children. I don't know. I'm just letting you know these are things I have personally done because I am a man who has failed at times. And I have a great Heavenly Father that lets me come and confess and repent. And he still loves me. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. My brother was just reciting it to me this morning, not knowing it was in the message. Let's read it aloud together, shall we? If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Circle that three-letter little word, all. All of it, not most of it, not many of them. All of it, gentlemen. All of it. All of it. You say, Abba, I haven't done so good as a husband. I haven't done so good as a daddy. I failed at being a godly man. You know what to do, guys. Follow my example. Repent. And embrace the loving words of your Father here. He's already told you. He's already said to you, Chris, Rami, Tommy, your sacrifices to me are a broken spirit. I receive that because I love you. A broken and contrite heart. I receive those things. I love you. This is the kind of men, the kind of fathers that Father God is looking for. Get it? Good. Let's pray. Abba, you have said holy reverence for you gives a man deep strength. And what we need today are men with deep strength. Help us to build our firm foundation on Jesus Christ. When everybody else is running the race of acquisitions, achievements, accomplishments and appearance. Help us to remember that what matters most is your agape love activated in phileo love that goes forth first to love you and to love our wives and our kids, our families, our friends, even our enemies. Help us to remember, Jesus, that you said our care for others is the measure of our greatness. Help us to give our lives away and learn what it means to really live. We realize that everything else is going to pass away, but the man who does the will of God will live on forever. Most importantly, we pray you give the men of this church family that I am included in a new sense of courage, the courage to stand alone if necessary, to be a man of honor, a man of great integrity, spiritually speaking, and to be strong and do everything in love. We pray this blessing in your holy name. Amen.